Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for this Father's Day, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your love and your kindness, Lord God. We thank you for all of our fathers, Lord. Some of our fathers have gone off to be in heaven. Some of our fathers have had challenges, Lord God, but we thank you for fathers, Lord, and we pray for them today. We lift them up, Lord. We pray for their strength, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for their resolve in you, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage their hearts, Lord God, as the enemy tries to tear them down, because he knows if he tears down the father, he tears down the family, Lord God. So we say a special prayer of strengthening and encouragement for our fathers today. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for you, our Heavenly Father, Lord God. Oh, Lord, if we don't have a physical father on earth, Lord, we always have you, and we all have you, Lord God. So we thank you for being our Heavenly Father, the one that's always there. Father, you adopted us into our family, and you said we could call you Abba or Daddy. Oh, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we praise you today, Lord. Help us as we learn your word and learn your lesson. I pray again that we would digest it and take it in. It will become a part of our life, Lord God. It wouldn't be something that we just listen to and forget as we walk out the doors. But Lord, we will digest it. We'll take it in and we'll live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue with our lesson, guys. You know, last week we finished up wound healing, and we talked about the different types of wounds and how they need to be treated differently. And we were relating these wounds to how we hold ourselves accountable and how we are accountable to our brothers and sisters. It's not just about, you know, preaching the word to them and telling them the word. It's about loving them and knowing how to love them. That's a part of accountability, is that you are speaking the truth in love. The Bible makes that so clear, that we speak the truth in love. Could somebody close that door? That we are speaking the truth in love. And we're not just, you know, just, we're not just saying anything, but we're speaking the truth in love. Because that makes all the difference. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference. You know, and there's no, you know, the Bible is our guideline. The Bible is what we go to. And sometimes, as we talk about, there's balance in the Bible. I love the Word of God for that, because it's balance, you know. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, is temperance. And temperance means balance. And how do you know what to do in this situation? How do you know to do with that situation? You know by the Holy Spirit. That's why when you have your prayer life going, when you're in your prayer closet, invite the Holy Spirit to come in. He knows what the day is going to look like for you. Mm-hmm. So you need to invite him in to your prayers so that he can guide you and lead you. And he will tell you, I'm telling you, there's so many times he has told me what to do or what not to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was to keep your mouth shut. And that's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is to speak. And sometimes it is to love. Many times it is to love. I find that so often. Sometimes it's just giving somebody a cup of coffee, throwing your arms around somebody. All of that is accountability, guys. As the lesson is entitled, real accountability. Not this accountability we think in our mind, but we got to get into what real accountability looks like. So as we continue on our lesson, we're on day 3. The church in you in freedom. And if you guys can recall the video that we saw, the video clip that we saw from the war room, and it was the two men in the gym, and one was talking about some of the things. He was having some problems in his marriage, and that was Michael. And then Tony was telling him, you know, he says, listen, if you're in trouble, if your marriage is in trouble, I'm not going to just sit here and keep eating my salad. I want to know what's going on with you. I want to know how I can help. And see, I love that attitude. And then Tony that was having the problem in his marriage. And Tony was saying, well, he kind of brushed him off and kind of walked away. And that happens all the time. You know, you're trying to help people out and they kind of brush you off. And Tony was saying, I'll see you in church. And then Michael responded, I want to see the church in you. You know, boy, how powerful that was. That many people will never walk through these doors, may never walk through the doors of a church. So we've got to be the church out there. They've got to see the church in us and what the church looks like. You know, if the church was operating like it was supposed to operate, mm-hmm. I believe all people would be beating our doors down. Yeah. We wouldn't have enough seats for everybody in the church, because they'd be beating our doors down because of the wonder and the beauty and the love that is to be in the church of Jesus Christ. If we were doing what we were supposed to do, and we're getting there. You know, I always like to say that Christians give more than any other people group that you can find. We give more. There are more Christian missionaries. There's more Christian, you know, giving. And, you know, so we are on course. We just got to do it better. You know, so I don't want us to be totally discouraged because we are carrying out that great commission that Christ called us to do. But we just got to tap into more of that power that he gave us, you know, over the enemy. So as we look at your lesson, and there were, I think I had about three copies over there, if you don't have a lesson. And we're on page, Rita, help me out. What page are we on? 18. We're on page 18 of the lesson. And it says at the top of the page, what do you suppose it means to see the church in someone? Perhaps the question can be made clearer this way. What does it mean to live in a way that reflects Christ as his church? Okay, so what does that mean? You know, we really want to dive in what this means. We cannot conclude a lesson of accountability without having an honest discussion about how we reflect Christ out there. You know, having an honest discussion about it. You know, I mean, sometimes we don't want to hear different things that are being said, or we just ignore things. But, you know, just having an honest discussion. You know, some things that people say about the church are not true. Some things are just lies, and they're just things sent out there by the enemy to discourage you. But some things we really have to sit back and think about. You know, Lord, am I reflecting you, or do I have my own attitude or my own rule book about what the church should look like? You know, how do we reflect Christ and his church in the community in which we live? Are we hypocrites? Boy, that's a good question. You know, and that's a personal question. Am I a hypocrite? You know, and, you know, Jesus, boy, you know, Jesus had zero tolerance for hypocrites, man. He just really, he called them out on the carpet, you know. And I'm telling you, Jesus called us out on the carpet, too. I mean, he will expose you. You know, he has exposed great preachers on national TV, you know, that were doing stuff, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, what an embarrassment it is for the church for this to happen. But that's our Lord, you know. I'm like, I saw that, and at first I was just so wounded and hurt, and a part of me was like, Lord, why did you let this happen? But then another part of me, as I thought about it and thought about it, it's because Jesus is true. He is truth, and he will not abide hypocrites. So we have to ask ourselves, am I a hypocrite? Am I saying one thing and living another? Because that's what the world says about us sometimes. You know, it may not always be true. But think about it. Is it true about you? Or are we reflecting Christ to the people? Jesus said you're going to be hated, okay? So that's going to happen. But be hated because you're really reflecting Christ. Okay, don't be hated because you're a hypocrite. Okay, that's the worst. Be hated because you are living for Jesus Christ truly in the world. So we want to be true. It doesn't mean, and being true to Christ doesn't mean you're a perfect Christian, you're a perfect person. Okay, we're on this journey. The scripture says the work he began in us, he continues to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't mean you walk in perfection. What it does mean is that you do your best to adhere to him. When you make a mistake, you get it right. You repent, you apologize, you humble yourself. As the scripture says, we humble ourselves before God and men. Yes. It's easy to humble yourself before God because he's God. But how about in front of your sisters and your brothers, around your coworkers? It's hard to humble yourselves around other people, you know, because we think we're all that. Everybody thinks they're all that, you know. So it's hard to humble yourself, but God calls us to it because that's a reflection of the church. That shows true Christianity. Not that you're perfect, but when you do mess up, you humble yourself, you apologize, and you get it right. You know, boy, that reflects. I'm telling you, when I've had to do that, I think that speaks more of Christ than any other, than walking in perfection and not making any mistakes. You know, I think people need to see us make mistakes sometimes, but they also need to see how we deal with mistakes in our life. You know, that we deal with them honestly. We don't hide them. We don't try to cover them up. We don't try to sugarcoat it. We just go and say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. And I'm sorry I hurt you. You know, I lost my temper. I did this, I did that. That's a true reflection of who we are in Christ. The next point in your lesson says, in this day and age, it is more difficult to show our communities the church of Jesus Christ than it was than it was for the early church? Or is it? You know, I wanted to recur. That's why I brought in this DVD, because I wanted to talk about the early church, because we think we got it so hard. You know, we think it's the last days and Jesus is coming any minute and we're just under such persecution. Boy, we need to take a look at the early church. You know, they did a series, AD, The Bible Continues. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that series, but it was really powerful and showing. I think it just went through the first eight chapters of the book of Acts. Just the first eight chapters, folks, and what they went through and stuff. So we're going to look at that in a minute. So we want to look closely at the community in which the early church was born and established to see that through grave difficulty and life-threatening circumstances, they thrived and grew. How did they do this? Why did they do this? You know, so you got to really look. I mean, your homework assignment, read the Acts of the Apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. Read what they did. And I just want to show this video clipping. Lord, please let this work right. Okay. So I am just hoping this will not. Oh, man, it turned off. So hopefully it'll be where I need it to be. I need it to be. Okay. And it's going to. Power. And okay, it's on. It's on. That's a good step. It's on. Okay. Then I turned it off, I think. Okay. Okay. It's on. I'm going to hit play and hopefully it'll go back to where I had it. Okay. Okay. It's connecting. That's a good point. It's a good sign. It's connecting. Okay. Okay. Oh, man, and it went back to the beginning, guys. And let's see if we can get past this. I think I know exactly where it is. You guys can just be patient with me. I just really wanted to show you guys this this part to this video that just showed. And I'll show you the setup of the video is that... is that when Saul of Tarsus was coming after them and they were okay. Okay. I thought this was so powerful because the very thing, you know, from the very beginning, the Church of Jesus Christ was under persecution. You know, from the very beginning.
In the name of Jesus.
From the very, very beginning, the Church of Jesus Christ went through a lot of persecution. And even to the point of people trying to counterfeit. Remember in the epistles where they talked about people adding rules and regulations to the Word of God? You know, and we see that today. We see people that have a semblance of Christianity, but they've added things to it. And this started way back then. This is not something new. And we're almost there. You're fine. You're fine. Here we go. This is the... Okay, this is Saul of Tarsus coming after them. And I thought this was such a powerful scene. And I'm going to rewind just a little bit.
Anyone else? The followers of the false Messiah. They will be. The word. These people are being arrested for anything, sheltering and feeding the followers of the false Messiah. They will be imprisoned. Anyone else who does likewise will also pay with their freedom. Don't think of scurrying off to the desert for help with your friends. Okay, so I just wanted to show that scene, you know, of the early church, you know, in the tents,
out in the desert, you know, and they're chasing them down. They burn them out, you know, they're running, they're being beaten. You know the story about Stephen that was stoned, you know, and how he was stoned and how they had to stand in the face of death, folks. And, you know, in the Bible, when you look at the book of Revelation, that's how the Christian church is going to end up. You know, after the rapture of the church, that's what the Christian church is going to face again. So this was the beginning of the church, and at the end, when the church is finally taken at the second coming, when that happens, again, standing up until death. The Bible makes it very clear that Christians are going to be put to death again. And that's always been somewhat of the story of the Christian faith. You know, that's why the United States was established. The people came here, the pilgrims. Remember the pilgrims? They came here so they could worship in freedom. You know, people came. This nation was established so that, you know, no matter what they're trying to say and trying to rewrite history, that's why it was established. That's why in God we trust is on our money, because it was established as a Christian nation. You know, you look at some of our sacred documents, and our sacred documents talk about God. We are endowed by our Creator. You know, we hold these truths that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. That's in our sacred documents that establish the nation. You know, so Christianity has always been at the forefront. But again, the persecution comes up over and over again. Why? Because we're fighting a real enemy. That's how we get, you know, folks, we got to get, and that brings us all the way back to our lesson, war room, why we have to fight. So we're not doing anything harder. We're not doing anything harder. We're not doing anything more difficult than the early church.
Okay.
Bless you, Rachel. We are not going through anything different, folks. And that's why we got to do these battles. You know, and look, so I think it's really good. And if you can see that AD series, you know, just looking at the early church, you know, seeing that, it just really hit me what they really went through to establish. I mean, remember, Christianity wasn't all over the world. It was just in this little hub, you know, in the Middle East, you know, and here they are trying to spread it, you know, all over. It followed the directions or the commission, the great commission that Jesus sent them on. So back to your lesson, it says one of the reasons the early church was established and thrived was that it began in a world that was desperate for hope. The message of Jesus fulfilled the hopes of mankind, the hopes of forgiveness, renewal, and peace, and reconnection with our loving God. The message of Christ brought humankind hope and peace on all levels. So that's why the message of Jesus Christ thrives. That's why it goes on, because it is exactly what humanity needs. It's exactly what I needed, you know, when I was not serving God, when I was just doing everything I was big enough to do. It was exactly what I needed, you know, and we all are like that. We all need that love, you know. So again, folks, is the church being seen in you? For these people out there that are desperate, they may be ornery and hard on the outside, but they are in desperate need. You know, that Saul of Tarsus that was persecuted, you know, his story is that he ended up accepting Christ, because even as harsh as this man was, you know, and as he was killing the Christians, as hard as he was, he still needed Jesus Christ. And the same is true of our world today. People need Jesus. They need the Lord in their life. So the next point says the same is true today. We live in a world hungry for hope as we are riddled with the lies from the enemy who keeps us in chains of unforgiveness, strife, condemnation, mental turmoil, and separation from relationship with God. I've never seen a day where we've had so much mental turmoil. You know, people just suffering in their mind. I mean, I'm talking young people. Young people. Boy, I was reading the statistics about the suicide rate. Where do we see that? Did we see that? Did they show that at church? Yeah, he was showing it. Pastor Jonathan was showing that at church last Sunday. The rates of the suicide, the average age of suicide is 14. Used to be 40. Now it's 14. You know, folks, I'm telling you, just the mental anguish in our children is overwhelming. But your lesson says, but the message of Jesus still stands as the single hope of mankind. He still brings what he brought to the early church. But for this message to be delivered to a dying world, they must see the church of Jesus. Christ in you, his hope must be lived out before them as it was in the early church, so that they will come. You know, through all of that stuff they went through, they still were showing people were coming. Mm-hmm. People were coming. Mm-hmm. People were coming because the message was so true and the message was so real. Today, people are still coming. They're still being won to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, in all countries, you know, revivals are breaking out in China and India. You know, people are coming to the Lord. So the message is still true, guys. The disciples went out in all directions to spread the gospel of Jesus, and they were beaten, they were jailed, and all of them were martyred, you know, in different parts. You know, I mean, I was, you know, this at the end of this series, you know, they talk about the disciples and how they ended up, you know, historically speaking, and some ended up dying in Africa. So one died in India. I never knew Matthew died in Africa, and another one died in India, and just all the different places they went, and that's where they died, martyred for the sake of Jesus Christ. You know, but they were eventually put to death, but not without people seeing the church in them. The next point of the lesson, the church of Jesus Christ is infused with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit made the difference in the disciples of Christ. Note Peter before and after his filling with the Holy Spirit. Boy, that Peter, how different he was before and after. Remember before he was hanging out. To me, you know, and I'm saying this in 2018 and all my comforts, I'm like, I can't imagine hanging out with Jesus and then denying him three times in one night. I just can't get that. How you saw the miracles. You saw this. You know, like people say today, well, if God would show me a miracle, then maybe I would serve him. No, you would find a reason. People find a reason because Peter, you know, he saw all of that. But still, when men came, when the forces of man came, Peter denied him because the difference is the Holy Spirit. And then Peter after the Holy Spirit. And you saw him, you saw, you know, the depiction of him in that video, how strong he was and how he was ready to say, you will try, you will try. He was so determined. You will never take down the church of Jesus Christ. This will go on and on and on. So the Holy Spirit, again, we come back to the Holy Spirit making the difference. In Peter, and it makes the difference in us. It makes the difference in the early church, and it makes the difference in the current church. Note the coming of the Holy Spirit in the upper room and the events that followed. And you see that in Acts 2, how 3,000 souls were added to the church in just one day because of the work and the operation of the Holy Spirit. You know, folks, if we could just... Boy, have I said Holy Spirit enough? Because I want you all to really see the importance of it. You know, you can't have these cold, empty prayers, you know, that's not in tune with the Spirit. And you can't be praying just what you want. You got to pray what the Spirit wants. Remember, the scripture says the Spirit makes intercession for us because we don't know how to pray as we ought. I'm glad the Spirit makes intercession for me because I don't know how to pray. I'm just praying my laundry list of God do this and God do that and God do this for me and that for me, you know. But what is the Holy Spirit asking you to pray for? Some of you, many of you know, because he wakes you up in the middle of the night to tell you to pray for people. Or he puts them on your mind in the middle of the day and says, pray for. You know, that's the Holy Spirit, folks. You know, and you've got to tap into him. You know, because sometimes I don't feel God. I don't see. Oh, he's all around you. You're just not paying attention. I realized that I wasn't paying attention. He was all around me all the time doing things in front of me. And I just wasn't paying attention. But once the Holy Spirit showed me how to pay attention, then I would hear it. I would hear it in a song that I was talking to God about something, and in a few minutes, a song would come on the radio that answered my question. Mm-hmm. You know, I would hear it in somebody saying something to me that they didn't know, have any idea how much I needed to hear that. They would just call me up out of the blue and say, God told me to call you and tell you. And you're like, oh my God, there he is. The Holy Spirit. So again, you want to tap in to the Holy Spirit. And once you start really cultivate your relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will never be the same. You will walk differently. You will talk differently because you know that God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And you will know that God is with you. You're not walking. You don't walk anywhere alone. God is with you. But you have to pay attention. you know, in your spirit, so you'll know where he is. The Holy Spirit will make the difference in you and your church. The Holy Spirit will cause the church of Jesus Christ to rise up in you. Remember, Jesus said to them in Acts 1 and 8, he said, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Wow, it's true today, folks. You will receive ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So I implore you, invite the Holy Spirit into your morning prayer time. You don't have to just enjoy the Holy Spirit when you come to church. Invite him into your prayer time, into your war room closet, and watch things change. Watch things change. Next point in your lesson, what exactly is the church? That's a good question. So, you know, let's define, what is the church anyway? The church is the whole body of believers, with each part doing and functioning in its gifts, talents, and mantles and assignments as commanded by Christ and infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the church, okay? All of us working together with our different gifts and our different talents, you know, and our on assignment. On assignment. You can't just go where you want to go. I wish we could get that as Christians. I know we live in America. I know they said freedom. We're free. We can do whatever we want. You know, but folks, I'm telling you, we got to be that. Apostle Paul says, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Remember he said that? I'm an ambassador in chains, he said. We've got to see ourselves the same way. Because we see ourselves as, I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want. You better stop that. You better find out what your assignment is, because we all have an assignment. Don't think, well, he hasn't given me an assignment. Yes, he has. You just are ignoring it, or you don't want to do it. Maybe it's not glamorous enough. Maybe you don't like the people that you have to be around in order to do that. We have all kind of, maybe I don't want to live in that neighborhood. Maybe I don't want to move. Maybe I don't want to. Oh, you better be on assignment. Folks, I want to be on assignment when he comes. When he, you know, I want to be on assignment. I don't want my works to be wood, hay, and stubble. You know, see, the wood, hay, and stubble is the stuff you're doing off assignment. They're good works. Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing this. But he called you over there to do that work. Folks, be on assignment so that your works are not burned up. We are ambassadors. I tell people, I'm his maidservant, honey. He gives me orders, and I'm his maidservant. That's all I am. You know, no other titles. I'm his maidservant, okay? You know, and that's the way we have to see ourselves, that we work for him. He doesn't work for us. You know, we don't, I get people when sometimes they're trying to, you know, order God around. I'm like, really? Let me just step away from you a bit, because we don't order God. We don't know what we're doing. It's like a 5-year-old ordering you around, telling you what to do. I want cookies for dinner. Chocolate chip cookies with ice cream. We wouldn't listen to that. Yeah, it does sound good. See, we always asking for stuff that's not good for us. You know, it tastes good for a moment, but in the end, it does us bad. We got to understand, we got to get our positioning right. And as we get into warfare, you got to get your positioning right, because our positioning is all off in the church. We got to see where we are, how we function. We are on assignment, and the church is infused by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, boy, we can just do things. In your lesson, it says the church transcends time, including the believers before, present, and after us. You and I are connected to the early church. Do you understand that? The power that was available to them is still available to us. You get that? You are connected to Peter. You are connected to the depiction of these people in this video, being burned out, being beaten up. You are connected to them, because the church of Jesus Christ is one continuous flow. One continuous flow, generation after generation after generation. We are connected with them. We have the same Holy Spirit that they had. When Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, I don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. we have that same Holy Spirit that he had back then. So we have the power, and it's up to us to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. See, that's what God told the church. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And the reason why Satan fights us, our unity so much, is because, boy, when we get together, he knows the power that is within the church if we could just be unified. That's why he constantly seeks to destroy our unity. You know, the scripture says, and this is, I'm going to read it from Ephesians 4, 2 and 5. You can turn in your Bibles if you want to. But it says, with humility, forsaking self-righteousness and gentleness, maintaining self-control with patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love, make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, each individual working together to make the whole successful. There is one body of believers and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope and then called to salvation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is sovereign over all, working through all, and living in all. He calls us to this. That's why we can't pull apart so easily. We can't let everything hurt our feelings. And, you know, yes, it's going to hurt your feelings, but that doesn't mean you have to pull apart. Oh, we have power. You know, I have power over my hurt feelings. You know, that's why Jesus said, I keep saying it, overcome it. Get over it. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. You are on assignment. And there's work to be done for eternity. So we get over ourselves, folks. And we endeavor. We fight to keep, you know, the unity. Give me your hand. We fight to keep it. You know, we fight to keep it. You know, we don't pull away so easily. We fight to keep ourselves together. The unity of the Spirit. The bond of peace. We fight for peace. Peace is something that has to be pursued. You know, it's not something that just happens on earth, as you know. On earth, it doesn't just happen. More likely than not, there's going to be strife that's easy. Mm-hmm. So you have to pursue peace, and you have it because the Prince of Peace lives in you. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the balance of all this? The balance of all of this is that you watch out for counterfeits mm-hmm. of the church. In the very beginning, there were counterfeits. As I was talking earlier in the church, you want to be careful. You know, of counterfeits. When I say unity of the church, I'm talking about the true church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about counterfeits of the church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about, the Bible is very clear. You don't add stuff to the Word of God, and you don't take things away from the Word of God. You know, so those that are preaching adding stuff, you do this and this, watch out. Or you don't have to do all that, watch out. Watch out for the counterfeits. The Holy Spirit. How will you know? How will you know if it's a counterfeit? Holy Spirit. Back to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Your spirit will bear witness. Your spirit will bear witness to true believers. And your spirit will tell you when something's not right. You'll know it. I don't know if you've ever been to, I've been to church services and I mean like, okay, something don't feel quite right in here. I don't know if y'all ever had that experience. And you're like, okay, something's not quite right. And the more you sat there and you heard what was being said, you're like, okay, I need to get out of here. You know, because this is not, you know, the true church. And from the very beginning, Satan has developed counterfeits. So be careful of counterfeits, folks. You'll know the true church because the Spirit will tell you. Okay, as we move on to the next section of your lesson, we're going to move on to a section called freedom. And there's a word that it talks about in the War Room lesson. And I hope I'm going to pronounce this right, guys. Komi-miyuth. Komi-miyuth means erect or upright in Hebrew, as is written as freely or freedom in the verse below. Okay, so these are the verses. Leviticus 26 and 13. This is the word that's used, the Hebrew word. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you will not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect, or komi-miyuth. And then in Leviticus 26:13, this is a different version. This is the Amplified says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you would not be their slaves, and I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk upright with heads held high as free men. So we want to really just see what was Lord talking about, you know, in this freedom in him. As we just talked about this slavery and slaves of the Lord, but there's also this freedom that's also in the Lord. This word encapsulates freedom, not just in the physical, but also freedom in the mind. That's why it talks about being erect, the head and the body up, as a free man would have his head and his body up. You know, that's what this means. The Lord not only just frees you up, he lifts your head or your mind, because that's where we were. You know, when we were in sin, boy, our heads were down. We may be walking around looking prideful in the physical, but in the spiritual, in the soul realm, our heads are down because we're slaves. We can't help doing some of the things that we do, you know. So the next point says, how does this scripture relate to accountability? Sin enslaves our brothers and sisters. It entices them to come into its house and then puts the chains on them. Jesus answered, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, everyone who practices sin habitually is a slave of sin. Verse 36 says, so if the Son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free. That's John 8, 34 and 36 in the Amplified. So Jesus makes us free because we are slaves. You know, you were a slave to sin. You did what you did. You didn't even know it. You mean you were sinful and didn't even know how sinful you were. You know, I mean, the more I grow in Christ, the more I realize how far I was from him. You know, when you overcome something like, boy, did I used to do that? You go back and look back at yourself, you know, how you were 10, 20 years ago. You're like, oh, my God, you know, did I do that? You know, you go back and visit some of those old friends. They said, girl, I remember when you used to, what? You know, did I do that? And you remember how far he brought you from, you know, because we were slaves and we did this stuff. You know, the next point in your lesson says a slave does not hold his or her head up or erect, but hold their heads down as an act of submission to their master. This is the position of the soul in sin. And the scripture says, Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. We did a whole lesson on that. He lifts my head. You know, because once you accept Jesus Christ, people come to Jesus Christ in all kind of ways. They've done all kind of things. You know, even in prison, people are ministering. Murderers, serial killers are accepting Jesus Christ, and he can lift their head. You know, they don't have to hold their head down in shame. You know, you can lift your head because that's what Jesus does. He took it all. He took all your sin and he washed it all away, folks. That's why you can lift your head, because his head hung down on that cross when he took it all. So again, he is the one who lifts your head. And when you know that, I mean, when you really know that, you know, boy, it makes all the difference for you. When you know that, you know, even after we come to Christ, it takes us a while to know that. It took me a while to really know that, you know, because people would mess with you and people would tell you all sort of things about yourself and remind you of things that happened. But boy, when you know he is the one, thou, O Lord, our shield about me, you're my glory and the one who lifts my head. You know, I'm just thinking about a bride, how a bride looks and how her glory. She's got on this beautiful dress and she's just, I mean, her dress is her glory, you know, and she just, you know, that's the way you want to see Christ. He is your glory. He has adorned you. You know, you're my glory and the one who lifts my head. You know, when a bride comes into the church and, you know, you see her at the entrance of the church and everybody stands and she doesn't come in like this. She comes in with her head up, big smile on her face, and she is just in her glory. That's what Jesus did for you. He's adorned you in glory, and he lifts your head up so you don't have to be ashamed anymore of anything in your past, because he has washed it away. It's gone, folks. It's gone. And as I told you, if anybody tries to remind you of your past, you just tell them, let me see the scar. Let me see. I just want to see where you die for me. I don't see anything. So just back up, okay? Until you can show me those scars on your hands and feet, then you back up. Because he has lifted my head. And that's what we're going to stand in, guys. That's what we're going to live for and stand in. When you hold your brother and sister accountable, next point on your lesson, when you hold your brother and sister accountable, you help them to avoid sin and slavery that it brings. This is a perch of the church doing its work. When you hold your sister and brother accountable and help them to avoid sin. You see, you know, if you're close to somebody, you can see it from a distance. You can see when they're heading in a certain direction. And you get ahead of it. You know, just like Tony in that clip, you know, they just a comment that came from his friend made him say, hey, what's going on? What's going on with you and your wife? What's going on? You know, just hearing that comment, you're holding them accountable, trying to find out what is going on with you. Let's talk before it gets so bad that, you know, you're too far gone. You want to be on top of things. You can help them stay free in Christ so that their spirit can continue to thrive in peace and prosperity. You know, that's what you're doing. You got to see the whole picture of this person. You know, don't let them just slip away. You know, they may tell you to mind your own business like he did. He brushed Michael off. Like, you know, I'll see you in church, man. But I want to see the church in you, you know, and just stay on them. You know, the next point, you help their families avoid a lot of pain. You know, do you understand that? It's not just about when people mess up. It's not just about them. There are people around them that's going to be hurt by what they're doing. People that are going to be devastated, innocent people, children are going to be hurt because of what they're doing. You know, the enemy gets them blinded. And when he gets them blinded, they get so selfish. All they think about is them and themselves and how they feel and, you know, and all of that. And they don't even see. The enemy won't let them see all the people that they're going to hurt in that. You know, so you standing on the outside, as you see your brother and sister there, you're coming not just for them, but for the families and for the people that would be hurt around them, as you see there, see this happening. As Charles Stanley said, there's no such thing as an isolated sin. And that's so true. No such thing as an isolated sin. Sin is always messy.
Yes.
People are going to get it on them. You know, it's so you got to understand, you know, you're doing some preventive work by getting ahead of it. It's never just them. It's their loved ones, too, that's going to suffer. Next point on your lesson says, you help them avoid the consequences of foolish decisions while enjoying the benefits of doing the right thing. You know, so let me say that again. You help them avoid the consequences of foolish decisions while enjoying the benefits of doing the right thing. That's from your lesson on page 28. There's a great peace in doing the right thing before God and humankind. The enemy will coax people into sin and then torment them with guilt and condemnation for them. You know, Satan, that's the way he plays both sides of the fence. He will talk you into stuff, and then once you do it, he will torment you with guilt because you did it. Oh, you know, you just horrible. You just, how could you do that? Boy, you know, he just torments. He's a tormentor. Sin is always a trap. You know, don't ever think you're going to get away with stuff, okay? Right. Don't ever think you're going to get away with it. Right. Satan will see to it that you're exposed, okay? Right. Because he wants to see you in torment, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. You can tell a little lie. Man, he'll make sure you get caught in it. He'll make sure.
Every time.
Because he wants to torment you, and sin is always a trap, and he is a master of deception. Master of deception. You know, Jesus called him the father of lies. Wow. He knows how to deceive us, you know, and we humans, we think we're all bad. Oh, God. You know, that's why we got to humble ourselves, because we think we know so much, we don't know anything. He's been at this, so much longer than you have. And he will deceive you before you know it. Have you ever said to yourself, how in the world did I get into this mess? I said, I'm not getting this mess. You know, I look back and I said, didn't pray, Lord, I didn't even pray about this. You know, sometimes you feel so sure about something, or so sure about people. Pray about everything, folks. Because the deceiver is all around you, and you'll be sitting up there like, how in the world did I get into this mess? How did I get into this pyramid scheme? There's so many things out there. You know, but the enemy is the deceiver, so you want to always be in touch and in touch with the Holy Spirit. So we are commanded to look out for one another. The next on your lesson. We are commanded to look out for one another and always walk in forgiveness when a brother and sister repents. Always walk in forgiveness, folks. You know, once they repent, let it go. Okay? I know there's stuff in us that want to, condemn them and give them a speech and give them a lecture. But when it's repented of, it is covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you're bringing it up, you're going against the blood. You're going against the blood when you're bringing it up. So we have to understand the true act of forgiveness. So when the brother and sister walks in forgiveness, when they repent, we are commanded to walk in forgiveness. You must be careful that you do not become a part of the problem in fueling the pulling away of a brother and sister through your unforgiveness. And sometimes I know it hurts. It hurts us, man. People can hurt you. People can stab you in the back and twist the knife. They do it. But folks, again, we got to remember who we are and whose we are. Yes, the world will turn around and reject them, backhand them, keep them out, but we haven't so learned Christ. You know, this is scripture. Let's read the scripture from Luke 17:3. It says, pay attention and always be on guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins and disregards God's precepts, solemnly warn him. And if he repents and changes, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day, that's a heavy one, and returns to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive him. That is, give up resentment and consider the offense recalled and annulled. Man, really? Really, Jesus? 7 times in 1 day? And here he comes again? I know by the 7th time, you got a look on your face. Oh, I know you're not coming over to talk to me. Oh, I know you're not coming over here. Because we're human. But this is what our master calls us to. You know, and okay, the balance of this, you forgive, but you're always obedient to the Holy Spirit. Okay, and when Jesus is talking about it, the scripture says, consider the offense recalled and annulled. Meaning, I'm not going to bring it up to you. I'm not going to hold it against you. But I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom on how to handle this and how to deal with the situation or deal with that person ongoing. You know, because maybe they're struggling with something. Maybe they're struggling with an addiction, or maybe they're struggling with... The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom on how to deal with that. Some people struggle with finances, you know, how to manage finances, you know, and they're always coming to borrow money. It doesn't mean that you keep giving it to them and give it to them. It just means that you forgive them. Okay, you can't pay me back. I forgive you. You know, but the Holy Spirit says, don't lend them any more money. The Holy Spirit can tell you that. You know, I've had the Holy Spirit. I know people that said, the Holy Spirit, and this was a person, this was a lady, her son. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm trying to work on him, but I can't because you keep rescuing them. I can't do anything because you keep do not give them any more money. And that parent had to let go and let that son learn some things. Because the Holy Spirit, again, listen to the Holy Spirit. She wasn't holding anything against her son. It was just that she was being obedient to what the Holy Spirit was saying about that situation. You know, and again, we go back to the Holy Spirit, as we walk in forgiveness, we still acknowledge the Holy Spirit. So again, I'm going to leave it right there because we're almost out of time. Anybody have any comments? We don't have a mic, so. You're looking at that? Oh. No. It's about 5 to 10. It's about 5 to 10, so I'm not going to go into this next section. It's going to take more than 5 minutes. Joanne?
Psalm 65, verse 3, it says, iniquities, and this is the Amplified, iniquities and much varied guilt prevailed against me, yet as for our transgressions, you forgive and purge them away, make atonement for them, and cover them out of your sight. Yeah. And in a different book that we have on Psalms, it says it's like the Lord's whiteout or hitting the delete on the computer. They're gone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we don't live in the past.
Yes.
And
yes.
We don't want to let others live in the past either.
Yes, yes.
To bring
yes.
them out.
Yes.
And then talking about the suicide rate,
yes.
there was an article
mm-hmm.
in the paper,
mm-hmm.
I think it was Friday's paper, about the rate of suicide and the effects that it has on generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Generations of people. And, you know, and I can speak to that for myself.
Yes.
You know, my two brothers that took their own life last year within
yes.
4 months of each other.
Yes.
And, you know, the first year I was, like, just missing them and grieving for them. And then this past few weeks, I just got into a place where I was just stuck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
And it was like I couldn't move past it, and I didn't know what it was. But I was really stuck. I couldn't pray. I didn't want to come to church. And I had a hard time reading the word. And so I just got with the Lord by myself. And it was like, I don't know, Lord, what is it? I was so angry at my brothers. I was just angry at them. And I was even angry with the Lord. Didn't recognize it. And finally I had to come with grips, you know. It was my feeling, and I was working through my grief still.
Yes.
But then I had to get before the Lord and repent for everything that I was holding in.
Wow.
And the minute I did that, there was such relief.
Yes.
And, you know, it was just like, but, you know, I didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
And we can't repent until we recognize what it is that we need to repent for.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, it takes a little while.
Yes.
But, you know, if you keep pursuing the Holy Spirit and asking the Lord, instead of shoving it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because two times we shove things down and just, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And we have to talk about the things that happen in our life, mm-hmm. you know, to
yes.
be
able
to,
yes.
it's a purging,
yes.
you know, getting rid of it.
Yes.
So I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah,
I didn't think I was going to be able to do it today.
Yeah, and even in all that situation, we trust God with this, even into eternity.
Yes,
you know, God knows what was going on in those last few moments
exactly.
and those last few seconds
exactly.
of a life. You know, so we trust Him.
Exactly.
You know, through life and through death, we trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing that He makes it all right.
Yes.
You know, He makes it all right. He
yes.
can make a second into an eternity for somebody. You know, it could be seconds before they slip away, but
exactly.
the Lord can enter into that second.
Exactly.
You know, I just believe that. I just know
I know
that He can. Time is in His hand.
Yeah, I believe that, but I had to work through my
yes.
own feelings.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, I had dealt with that, knowing that they both had accepted the Lord before they even died.
Yes.
But, you know, then I was grieving, missing Him.
Yes.
But then I hadn't dealt
yeah.
with I've never felt that level of anger.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was a new
yeah.
new experience for me.
In
all the years of
yeah.
things that I've had to go through,
mm-hmm.
it had never been that level
yeah.
of anger.
Joanne, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
You know, because see, this is the real stuff. that makes you an effective warrior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, nothing between my soul and my Savior.
Yes.
No matter what it is, nothing between Him. You know, listen, you know, even if you're mad at God, let's talk this out. As He said, come, let us talk this out.
Exactly.
One version says, though it sins be as scarlet. Uh-huh. Even if you hate me, I know God says, let's talk it out.
Yeah.
You know, and we can discuss what's going on so we can do effective warfare. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have a comment?
I was going to say, I'll get back.
The week before this past Christmas, I was sitting in the church and my stepson came in and I saw him, but my eyes were so bad I didn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and sat by me and he started asking me to forgive him. And I said, hey, I've forgiven you a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And so I just told him what you need is to be filled with the Spirit, because I knew he'd given his life to the Lord. I says, you need the Holy Spirit for that power. And so anyway, we visited, and after church, he wanted me to walk up to the altar with him, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went and had coffee, and I told him, I says, Craig, the things you did, I says, yes, I was angry. I says, but I'm over that.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we parted. He went home and I went home, and I went into prayer, and the Lord told me just continue praying for him and just keep praying for him.
Yes.
And I told Craig before he left, I says, I'd like to see you steady in the church, not just you know, when you need comforting. I says you need comforting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this past week I hadn't heard from him since Christmas. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And I was really worried, but the Holy Spirit kept telling me to just continue praying.
Mm-hmm.
And he came knocking on my door this week.
Wow.
And he looked so good. I hadn't seen him look that. I had not seen him look that good. And so I hugged him and brought him in the house. And he says, you know where I've been? And I says, no. I says, but it looks good. Mm-hmm. He says, I've been in church.
Wow.
He says, since the last time we met, he says, I have been in church every Sunday and every Wednesday night.
Praise God.
I couldn't believe that, because I knew that I was asking the Lord to fill him and to bring him back and and all that. But when I really saw him, his demeanor was just like
testimony to what prayer does.
Yes.
Even if they're not serving the Lord, even if they are serving the Lord, you, as the body of Christ and family, you continue praying for them and love on them and keep loving on them and don't stop praying, because we have breakthrough.
Yes.
We had a breakthrough. Look at God's testimony.
Amen.
And continue praying. Continue warfare. Continue and don't stop.
Yes.
Don't stop.
And there will be more testimonies.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, there will be more testimonies like this on what God is doing, because he does work.
And we don't see it when it's coming, but then when it shows up, my God.
Yes. Oh. We don't see it.
No.
And you're praying, thinking, oh, there he is. I don't know. And he shows up at your door.
Yep.
You know, just
trust in God.
Oh,
he's doing it. Even if you don't see it.
Amen. Absolutely. Irene?
I was going to say, even when people don't ask for forgiveness or you don't see their repentance, you still forgive them.
Yes.
You know, I had a situation in my life with a sister. I won't say what happened, but she denied it and never, you know, acknowledged or repented from it and never asked for forgiveness. But in my heart, I just said, Lord, you know what? You've forgiven me for all I've ever done, so I will forgive her whether she ever asks for forgiveness or not, whether she ever repents from it.
Mm-hmm.
I will always forgive her. And, you know, anger is a part of grieving.
Yes.
Because my children didn't take their lives, but I am angry that they're not here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that, but, you know, I just have never experienced it to this degree.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost people, you know, many family members, but I have never gone through this type of grief before. I've taught it.
Because it was a choice they made. Mm-hmm. And why did they make that choice? It makes you very angry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't help it because we're human.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, too, being the older sister, and, you know, I was the caretaker in the family. It's like, I didn't realize it. My younger sister helped me. You know, we talked through it to help each other.
But she said, well, Joanne, you were put as, even though I'm not the oldest one, the two older ones were not here. And so I was put in that position as being the oldest one. So I was the caretaker mm-hmm. of my younger brothers and mm-hmm. sisters.
Yeah.
And my mom and my dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it was a lot that I hadn't even come to
real
understanding about.
Yeah.
But even when you said about when they don't come and repent, mm-hmm. this is, I almost didn't come because I thought, yeah, I'm going to go drive somewhere and just sit and pray. But what she just said about when somebody keeps hurting you and they don't repent or ask for forgiveness, Lord, what do I do in that situation? Do I just keep forgiving? And is it hindering my walk in the Lord, you know? And do I just keep walking down that road? But thank you for that word.
The balance is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because I know God has rescued for many people in situations. You know, I needed to be rescued from a situation I was in, and I just had to hear the Holy Spirit, as hard as it was. And the hard part was not hearing what the Holy Spirit was saying. It was doing it. Because sometimes you can even get so caught up in your routine and your rut, and you can get used to it, you know, and it's hard to get up and listen to the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, He took me by my hand and just took me out of a situation, you know, and just took me to a better place, a better situation. But I had to hear the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we can shut out the Holy Spirit, even in our painful situation.
Yes.
We'll shut Him out, you know, and just wait, you know, and just sit there. And the Holy Spirit is saying, do this, and we don't want to hear it. But hear the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm telling you, when you have that, you'll know what to do, and He will guide you. He will take care of you. He will protect you, you know, in all those situations.
And that's what just happened, because I wasn't going to share that. I can say, you know, I don't want to share that. You know, that's something I don't want to share. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit was prompting me. You need to share this.
Mm-hmm. I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's difficult when somebody hurts you, and especially if it's a family member, you know, they hurt you and they won't admit that they were wrong or ask for forgiveness. They're going to go to their dying bed saying, you know what, I wasn't wrong. I didn't do that. I'm not going to ask for forgiveness because I don't have any reason to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the stand my sister took. And I just have to love her. I love her.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's my sister, and I just said, Lord, you know, it's not my mind to hold against her because you've forgiven me all the wrongs I ever did. But I will not. I refuse to let the enemy use me to hold this against her. You know, I refuse to take that stand with the enemy. No, I refuse.
Unforgiveness chains both ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it chains you up when you don't forgive. And that's why Jesus is saying what He's saying.
Yes.
Not so that you can be somebody's doormat. It's just that He does not want you in bondage to unforgiveness.
I think forgiveness is more for ourselves than anything else. And once we recognize that, we're able to forgive.
Absolutely.
Well, and also for them, because when she sees, and she has seen that I have not held that against her, you know, that I've continued to love on her no matter what. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, so that's, the Lord is working in her heart as well. And I know that even though she's never said she's sorry to me, I believe that at some point she has told the Lord she's sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to hear it. I don't ever have to, you know, experience that, because it's okay, you know, as long as she's right with God, that's all that matters to me. You know, Lord, I just want her soul to end up with You.
Yeah.
So I will not be in it a tool of the enemy to keep her from ever coming to the Lord.
Right. Amen. Anybody else? Do you have a comment?
I've got a lot of things, but you know that I have been. It's the only way to go.
Only way to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only way.
And it does set you free, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as Joan was talking, the stuff lifted, you know, and it lifts like that when you finally forgive and let it go. You know, and as I tell people, God keeps score. You don't have to keep score. God will. Okay? You just forgive and go on.
Right.
Let God take care of the rest, you know.
And then so. It reminds us to surrender all.
Surrender
and
all.
Next time it happens, you'll think, oh, go to God first.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
Surrender all. Like,
and let it go.
He knows anyway, but yeah. He wants us to hear. He wants to hear.
Yeah. And if you go to God first, that thing doesn't fester. Because sometimes it's just a little old offense. Yeah.
Because I just think you just surrender everything. I mean, it hurt bigger. You know.
Yeah.
I think he gets tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Amen. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pray. And then dismiss. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for the shared testimonies. Lord God, I thank you for your people, Lord God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you that you work through your people, Lord God. Father, this is a demonstration of the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, Lord God, as we share our lives with each other and what you have done, Lord God. I thank you for what you have done in each and every life, Lord God. I thank you that you are true to your word, Lord God. I thank you that you said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Lord God. So I thank you, Lord, for setting us free, Lord God. Even as we struggle through the experiences of life, Lord God, life down here is sometimes so hard and so difficult, Lord God. But I thank you that in the midst of it all, you stand as truth. Oh, Lord, your word stands as truth. Oh, God, you stand as the one that lifts our heads every single time. Lord, so we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name and we ask that you just continue to walk with us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to cultivate the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, that we would be reminded to invite the Holy Spirit into our prayer rooms and our prayer closets, Lord God, and we would recognize him. Recognize the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives so we can know him better and tap into the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, so that we can walk in the will and the way so the people can see the church in us. Oh, God, they won't even know what it is. They just know there's something, oh, Lord, about us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that ministers, that heals, Lord God. Oh, Lord, there's something about the church of Jesus Christ that's safe. Oh, Lord, in this world of so much harm and hurt, Lord, there's something about your church that is safe.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, that the world needs and longs for. It was that way in the beginning of your church, Lord, and it'll be that way in the end of your church, Lord, on this earth, Lord God. So help us to be the church. Strengthen us by your power. Lord God, we have no strength, Lord God, but you said in our when we are weak, then you are strong. Oh, Lord, so be strong in us, Lord God. Be strong in us, Lord God. I pray, oh, Lord, that we would not let anything fester. Oh, Lord, that when there is an offense, when there is a hurt, Lord, we immediately give it to you and we forgive it and we let it go and we trust you that you will take it. Oh, Lord, I pray we would be sensitive to what your Holy Spirit is directing us to do. Oh, Lord, we will put our emotions aside. Oh, Lord, and our agendas aside, and we will hear your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, that we would speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I thank you and I praise you.
Yes, Lord.
And we glorify your name.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.